Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up later, Thomas Aquinas joins us to answer listeners' questions in Slide Into My DMs. But first, it's time for another episode of Park Date. I really do hate this program. Hello, Park Date people. I hope everyone is well. Thank you for listening. This episode features a guest who I talked to in Vienna. His name is Marvin Mangalino, and he opened the Brillantengrund Hotel, which I've just managed to say kind of correctly, and also the BBUC sports brand is his thing as well. Brilliant unicorn sports. There's a first for Park Date in this episode. We walk into Marvin's hotel and we record the first episode that we've ever done inside a hotel, and it was a very nice hotel with some secret spaces and lots of kitsch retro decor, which I enjoyed, and so will you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy, please leave us a review and follow us on socials at Park Date Podcast. Mine is at Christopher Beanland. If you want to get in touch about anything, feel free. I would love to hear what you think of the show. And you can ask me any questions as well. Why is my name so strange? Why is the sound quality of each episode so good? And when will we be doing some live shows? Those kind of questions I'm sure you want to know the answers to. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to Dorothea Neff Park here in Vienna. And I'm here with Marvin Mangalino. Marvin, how are you today?
Quite good. It's Monday afternoon or evening, so a little bit exhausted.
But you've been very busy, haven't you?
Yeah. Mondays always like try to conquer the world on Monday, so
yeah,
everyone, not me.
Yeah, right. And also do all those things like picking your kids up and
soccer time, bringing them home, and yeah.
What's I mean, every kid loves soccer, don't they? I was big into that football, as we say in England, when I was a kid. Yeah. Did you like that game as well?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah,
I always dreamed about it, to be a star. But
me too.
Every child has.
Yeah, exactly. Problem, right? When I was like 5 years old, that was what I wanted to be.
Yeah,
I wanted.
You always saw this announcement. Hear the announcement. For the first time.
Exactly. And it's funny how every kid wants to be a striker as well, don't they? When you see kids playing football, it's like 10 strikers and one goalkeeper. There's no one wants to defend or do anything like that, but. Yeah, that's
everyone seems to be has this ambitions to be a hero somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially as a kid. The older you get, you lose this.
the harsh realities of life set in, don't they? Do all your children like soccer, or is it just one of them? He's
into it? I mean, Oscar is 9, so
yeah,
so he's the oldest, and Vito is 3, and Rami is just 1. So,
you've got your hands full.
So Vito and Oscar are already snowboarding as well. So
oh, that's cool.
I started last year, and Vito with 3 years was kind of stunning for me.
Oh, amazing.
That he was already standing on the board.
Amazing. I love it when you see the kids in ski school with their little uniforms on and they're just jumping down the hill.
Is 3 times bigger than they are.
Exactly. Yeah. They look so cute, and they're not scared.
Nah, that's
the point.
They
just go straight down the hill, don't they?
We are scared, we parents, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, they look so cute in their little ski school outfits. And we're talking about children. We're here in this park, and you can probably hear in the background there's some cute kid noises, some coughing kid noises. I think that child needs a drink.
Yeah.
But there's some kids playing in a sandpit with like a digger, and it's a very nice playground. Do your kids like to come here and play?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. And I also used to live here. Actually, this apartment there in the corner in the sunlight.
Oh, wow.
We just moved 2 blocks
away from here.
I mean, I was living here for 12 years now, and then I decided, well, first of all, we are 5 in the family, so we need a bigger apartment,
bigger place,
but I moved 2 blocks further because I need a little distance next to the hotel.
So the funny thing is, so Marvin used to, I didn't realize he lived in this block here. It's a very, very nice sort of historic, we'd say Altbau, right here, like an old building. So it's very sort of reminiscent of imperial
high ceilings.
Yeah, very high ceilings, very big windows, that kind of imperial look. Those apartments are very nice. I've been in people's apartments like that, and they look beautiful. Very historic. And then next to it, of course, is the hotel. I didn't realise that you were kind of living next door to where you work. You own this hotel, right? Brillantengrund.
Hotel am Brillantengrund. Yeah,
it's quite a mouthful for English speakers. and did you move in here first, and then you...
No. Actually, I lived in the 6th district before when I started, and then I was just standing in front of it, and then we realized that there is an apartment free, which was here in the 2nd floor, which is now my office. And then we moved there, and then we kept on also renting other apartments. So we are renting also 5 apartments that we offer to our hotel guests. So we especially have a lot of artists or actors living in this building as well.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. So you get more of a feel for what it's like to be staying in Vienna as a local
and
catering to creative people as well. It's a very, very cool thing to do, having artists and musicians. Yeah.
I mean, the district is also the more, let's say, creative district.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of film companies here, other creative studios. So, and I used to come from that background. So, also my partner, we have a big community from our past.
Yeah.
So we're well connected. And Vienna is a village.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone knows everyone.
Everyone knows everyone. I've discovered this. Whenever I mention someone's name in Vienna, they say, oh, I know that person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the idea as well. I think there's a problem increasingly in places like London and New York where creative people have to leave because it's so expensive. But a very cool thing about Vienna and Berlin as well is that creative people can stay in these nice central areas, and you can have like a mix of different...
Yeah, but it also started like with the same kind of history, because how it is, you live in a city, creative people have to live a little bit outside or some, let's say, not so good places, right? And then more and more artists live there, and then the next bar is opening, the next cafe is opening, then another store, and then it's getting more trendy.
Gentrified, I would say, yeah.
So the 7th district was the red light district.
In what, this district?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like if you go a little bit this direction to Spittelberg, this is where all the prostitutes were waiting for the Kaiser.
For the Kaiser
passing by to have some fun.
But I see. Yeah. So the Kaiser was very well behaved in the day. He was going to the opera, and then at night he was
that's the 7th district
being bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why also Brillantengrund was the nickname of this area of the 7th district. So, let's. This is the Bandgasse.
Yeah.
And this is the Seidengasse.
Yeah.
So Seidengasse means silk,
right?
And Bandgasse were the bands, so they the textile industry was really rich here.
Right.
So they produced a lot of bands out of made of silk, and it was a really well-being industry. And so the people were so rich that they paid also. Then there was this crisis, the first crisis, economical crisis, and they had no money to pay their stuff. So instead of paying them with money, they paid them a lot with brilliance, like jewelries.
Right.
So the cleaning lady had like a necklace, a gold necklace.
You might pay her with jewelry.
And diamonds on the, on the ears and on the fingers. So brilliant.
Right.
Brilliant and gold. That's why it's really brilliant.
Right.
That's our company. But then you also said there was this song from an Austrian traditional singer, the Engelmacher from Diamantengrund, and Engelmacher means was a nickname for how you call that in English when you're pregnant and you wanna
when you want the baby to come out,
not to come out. This religious thing, how you call it?
Right, I'm not sure. We'll look that one up. Yeah.
No. If Can you cut things
yeah,
out?
Yeah, we'll cut it out. Yeah,
because how is it called if you want to... you make a baby and you don't want to have it?
Oh, an abortion.
An abortion, sorry.
Right,
yeah. An abortion. Yeah, there were the... it's called the Engelmacher vom Brillantengrund, and those were those ladies who were responsible for the secret abortion.
Right, okay. Let's start that again. So I'll do a little pause.
Okay.
So... the nickname of the play is Brillantengrund.
Yeah.
There's also another section of the nickname, right?
Yeah. So there was this song from Helmut Qualtinger, now I got it. A very famous traditional Viennese musician, singer, with the title Die Engelmacherin vom Diamantengrund. And Engelmacherin is... if I would translate it word by word, it means the angel maker.
Right.
But those persons were actually responsible for the secret abortion for...
Right, right.
For the prostitutes.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a very colourful history to,
yeah, yeah. So
to this place.
So this was a totally red light district, yeah. The whole area.
Right. But changed a little bit now. We've got children playing around.
Yeah, now it's like one of the most expensive... areas in Vienna, like
right.
The first district, like the center,
okay.
And also 18th. But yeah, everyone wants to live here. Every student wants to live here, but it's just crazy expensive. And now I can realize that more and more in the 15th and the second, of course, a longer time ago already, but like 15th district, all this a little bit outside of the center are getting more trendy.
Yeah, someone you know over there.
Yeah, old neighbors.
We were saying everyone knows each other in the city.
Yeah, especially in the 7th.
Right. So it can be hard for creative people then to live here if the rents go
go
up a little bit.
The young people live mostly in a big apartment with 5 others.
Yeah.
And I mean, still, it's not comparable to London.
Yeah.
What was this, like 104 square meters, 1,300 euros. So it's
right.
Not expensive compared to London.
Cheaper than London.
Yeah.
Well, Vienna has this long history as well, doesn't it? I mean, people think of it as being quite a rich and successful city, but actually there's a long history, isn't there, of kind of social housing and rent control, like the Red Vienna period. They built a lot of social housing, didn't they? So there is that kind of history of people being able to get
true.
Quite affordable housing in Vienna, right?
Yeah, it has a really good social system. I think Vienna is the best place if you have kids.
Yeah.
You can afford it. You don't even need to work and you get money.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty radical now, but somehow like the whole health insurance system.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also very hard to get in. So it's like kind of, secured from outside. So
yeah.
The entry barriers are really high, but as soon as you're inside, it's a really for everyone, a really good system.
Yeah, and Vienna often wins the livability awards, doesn't it? People say it's a very livable city, you can afford housing, and
yeah.
Public transit is very good, isn't
yeah.
it? And very clean. I was, just before I met you, I was swimming in the old Danube, Alta Donau, which is very clean and very nice,
yeah, yeah.
a great place to kind of go. And
yeah, yeah.
yeah, we couldn't do that in, you know, New York or London.
Yeah.
The water is so dirty,
yeah,
but
yeah.
here it's very, everything's very clean, isn't
yeah.
it?
And I used to go there a lot too in the summer with the kids at yeah. Gänsehafel and those places. Yeah.
I was at Gänsehafel at the weekend,
yeah.
And
it's
it was
my
yeah.
garden.
Yeah, it's such a fun place.
Yeah,
it's so
garden.
Yeah, it's so big and.
It's
yeah.
one of the biggest in Europe, I think.
It's crazy,
I think it's
how big it
even
is.
The biggest in Europe,
yeah.
as far as I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gänsehafel is this kind of like summer camp place.
Yeah.
There's all these fake beaches. It's very, very nice. And doesn't it mean... that local's very friendly. Doesn't it mean something like a pile up of geese or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very nice translation.
Yeah, yeah. The poo of a goose, right?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I was also there in elementary school
yeah.
and quite close there, so I'm there since 1988, spending my summers there, so
yeah.
yeah.
And were there other parks as well that you liked to hang out in Vienna? Did you go to the Prater, the famous big park, or any of the other smaller ones?
Let's say 2 to 3 times a year if I have to go with my kids.
Yeah.
But then there's also one that it's called Am Himmel. It's on the top of
the sky.
Yeah, Am Himmel. So you have like a view on Vienna up there. But yeah, here in the 7th, you have a couple of parks as well. Like the hipster park here in the 7th district is Burggassen Park, probably, where you all meet the people with that you met like 10 years before in the club.
Right.
And now you see them all like drinking as well, but with the kids.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's fun to go to those parks where people just kind of hang out. And
yeah.
I think that's a great thing about a park as well, isn't it? It's, you know, you can go there for free, you can take your food and drink and
yeah.
just do whatever you want, really.
Yeah. But I'm really... can't wait for the time when my kids grow and don't have to go to the park anymore.
Are you sick of parks
yeah,
now?
I'm really fed up.
I've dragged you to one now and you're yeah, like, no more parks.
Yeah. I've just been here like 2 hours before with my
yeah.
little boy.
I guess when you have children, you're always
yeah,
in the park.
Better than letting them at home and
yeah.
arguing with you and discussing with you if they can watch some TV now or not.
Yeah. Oh, do they want to watch grown-up TV and you have to say no?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing.
What's the kind of thing they want to watch?
So, how you call it in English? In German, it's called Coco de Affe, and I think in English it's like Coco de. How you call it? My God. How you call it when you're? You have to cut this out.
Yeah.
How you call it when you always want to know, in the need of something to know? Neugierig.
Yeah.
How you call that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that show.
Yeah, yeah. Curious. Coco the Curious.
Okay.
I don't know. It's my friend from the States knows it as well.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, that's like super hype. Whatever.
Yeah. And so, well, we're sitting by the hotel here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the hotel and how you came to be involved with the hotel here?
Yeah, this started actually pretty exactly 12 years ago. So I have to go far back. Actually, I went to the Film Academy for a year, and then I wanted to study art. In between that, I jobbed around as a cutter, producing TV shows and all this stuff. So I was like in the media, in the media sector. And a good friend of mine, who was one of the Lomo founders, Lomo Graphic Cameras, Lomo founders, was like into real estate. And he thought, it would be good to have a hotel, and he would like to have a person to run it. So he talked to me and asked me, and I was like, huh? What? No? I don't want to do that. And but he kept on like pushing me and looking. We were like, he invited me every time when he's going to see a new building that is to offer. And then we checked out the hotel. And he did this like 2 or 3 years with me. And after 3 years, we've seen this building. And I said, okay, this is something different. If it's courtyard, this area, it has something very authentic and unique. It's nothing really... not just like a design thing, and yeah, there's something really down to basic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I thought, okay, I have to rethink it. And then I did a sabbatical for a year. I just stopped, quit working, and I said, either you start going back to university and study art, going back to the university for applied arts, or I'm gonna start this thing. So a year later, and I already thought we're not gonna get it because so many big real estate companies, hotel chains, everyone wanted to have this building because it was so special. But at the end, the owner decided that we should get it because we are like kind of family and doing it in a small way. And yeah, so now I'm sitting here since 12 years.
Yeah.
And my partner went out of the of his company 5 or 6 years ago and joined me here as well. So now we are running this hotel since 12 years, and
yeah, which is right behind us, and it looks very, very cute. I'm gonna have to have a look at some point, but yeah, it looks very historic and kind of kind of quaint, but it's very cool inside, isn't it? I've seen all the pictures. Very lots of like hipster people hanging out there, right?
That's the thing, is we have everything, every kind of people.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's a neutral zone, that, and I don't want to have it like just for the hipsters and just for the normal tourists. No, it's actually an open space, because that's the only way how to say authentic. I mean, my mom is not a concept. My mom is doing the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just joined me. She asked, hey, can I do the kitchen like I did when she was younger? When she was 14, she was also doing the kitchen first.
What's it like working with your mum doing doing the cooking? Yeah,
it's crazy on one side, but on the other side, it's what it makes so valuable.
Do you tell her what to do, or does she tell you what to do? If my mum was working with me, I think my mum would be giving me suggestions.
That's the big problem, and especially as an Asian. As an Asian kid with his Asian mom, and telling her Asian mom what to do is quite challenging. But yeah, it worked out so far.
Yeah, that's really cute. And everyone knows moms make the best food, don't they?
Yeah. So. I mean, in the beginning, we said, okay, doing a restaurant in a hotel is so hard because you're a hotel, you're not a restaurant, and every tourist who comes here don't want to eat at your hotel. But the point is, I mean, it's always fully booked and there are locals who are eating here.
Yeah.
So lots of locals are coming for the first time and said, oh, this is also a hotel. Yeah, it's actually the main business.
Yeah.
And the hotel guests, they might, some of them come because already they know that we have this restaurant, and some don't realize it from the beginning, but then they see, okay, it's always full and packed, and then they see they are local, so they make a reservation for the next days when they normally.
And you have this Filipino background in your family.
Yeah.
Is there any Filipino dishes?
Yeah. We have the only Filipino restaurant.
Amazing.
And that was a question mark in the beginning. We did some experiments. I tried like to have a special cook who does like international cuisine and this and that.
Yeah.
And then I figured out that the most important thing to do business is to have an authentic identity.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, if I want to sell what I love, then it's only the food for my mom.
Yeah. Filipino food is really good. I remember when I was there, I had some really nice food. Have you got any Jollibee like spaghetti on them?
No, it was already a big, big challenge to explain people what the hell is Filipino cuisine.
Yeah, because you have these elements of like Asian and Spanish,
French
and like American as well. It's all interesting mix, isn't it? Yeah,
and people know, they always have an association with Japanese, Thai, Vietnamese food, all the other Asian.
So different to that though. Yeah.
But if you ask them, do you know Filipino food, it's like no. It's pretty crazy actually to work with his mom, but at the end it gives us the whole identity and the people. I mean, of course, there's a mom cooking, it sounds so hip already again, but if they come and see my mom, then they realize this is a real thing.
Definitely. Yeah. So if we went in the kitchen now, would your mom be shouting out the orders in Tagalog or
now she's actually in the church?
Oh, of course.
She's coming back now.
The Catholic Church,
30 minutes.
Yeah.
And one of my kids.
Oh, right.
on the left.
Oh, wow.
Without the bag.
We see one of Marvin's kids has joined us running around the park, looking like he's having fun. Yeah. the hotel, I mean, this is... would be enough to I know people with businesses, and one business is enough to drive people crazy, but you started other ones as well, haven't you? You've got the clothing clothing brand as well.
Yeah.
So what made you decide that you wanted to do this kind of sports clothing?
Just another thing that happened, like the hotel happened, the restaurant happened, and the sports thing happened as well. I was just into cycling. There was a really cool shop around the corner, and they used to ride my bike, and then my mechanic invited some friends after a ride, because they did some daily group rides, weekly group rides on Sundays called Unicorn. And once it was raining, and they said, hey, I know a new place where we can have a beer and leave our expensive bikes. So they just stopped by here, and one of the guys, Winnie, Christian, that I met isn't graphic designer and totally into creative things that we love to share each other, and he used to design jerseys, and then it came up that we started to do bike races.
Yeah.
And then we did the first hotel jersey, And on, so the people started to ask us at InstiK, hey, can we buy this jersey? And that was, 10 years ago. And we said, yeah, well, yeah, okay. So I took a little bit of money from some cash that was left over from the hotel. And we said, okay, let's produce a little bit more. Let's see what happens. And then every year by year, we did more and more till we said, okay, we need actually a real production, and let's go to Italy and not just like print some jerseys. Yeah. Let's do it on a real level. And I think 6 years ago, maybe, yeah, five or six years now, we established a label called BBUC, Brilli Brilliant, from the hotel company Brilli Brilliant Unicorn,
yeah, right,
which is a kind of Percy Flash as well, on this long sort of pro cycling team names like pharma industry, whatever.
Yeah.
Our first racing team was called Brilli Brilliant Unicorn Racing Dream.
Right. Nice long name.
Yeah. And we also had like one of our riders won the Austrian, some Austrian titles as well. And in cross, we were pretty good. So it was kind of a fun thing that now turned over to a business. Yeah. Now yeah. We're selling in Asia and in the States and in the UK.
Yeah.
And yeah. So.
I'll have to get one. I'm a big cyclist. I cycle everywhere in London.
Okay.
It's not as safe as here, though.
Yeah.
Everyone cycles here, and it seems quite safe. There's a lot of bike lanes, but it's quite dangerous in London. Lots of very big roads.
Yeah, I mean, the British people did a lot. There is a British brand that just flattened the road for all these new brands in the, let's say, urban cycling industry. But, for us, cycling is always like, oh, this performance driven thing, and always so serious, and I come from snowboarding and skateboarding, and I just thought, okay, you need to give it a little ironic thing on it and smirk. Come on, we're not gonna get pros no matter what we train, no matter if we train like 5 to 6 days a week, we're not gonna reach that level, but the real pros are going to reach.
And I think that's one of the things I liked when I was reading about you, Marvin, that everything's a little bit ironic. The hotel is as well, and the clothing line.
Don't take yourself too serious, please.
And that's really cool. And I think that's really cool, because a lot of people, especially people who are entrepreneurs, can be very serious. Like, you watch those TED Talks and everyone's like, you know, it's very earnest, very serious. But actually, life is about having a little fun as well, and being funny, being ironic. Which is what we try and do on this podcast. It's not the most professional.
Yeah,
but I think that's the thing in life, isn't it?
That's the point. If you do it too professional, then you lose a lot of fun.
Exactly, and the fun is the thing that you should never lose. I mean, we're here, aren't we, surrounded by kids? And I think we can learn a lot from kids, right? They're always just kind of having fun and mucking around, and that's a nice way to be, isn't it?
Now, in the beginning, when I told my friends I'm going to do a hotel, everyone was like, what? Why a hotel? And blah, blah. Yeah. And then the first thing that I started was just, okay, let's... no one knows us, and I need a little bit fun in here. I'm a little bit bored about this guest, because we just took it over. It was already a hotel when we started it, but it was dead.
Yeah.
There were so few people, and the rating on Booking and on Google didn't exist by the time. I mean, it existed, but it was not so relevant. We were so bad. I said, okay, we need to bring more people here. And they start. And the first thing what I started was like, I said, I want to do a pop-up mall. So I did with two friends who did like flea markets as well. We did like a three-day pop-up mall. So in every room we had like different brands from... American Apparel was existing by the time, APC, Woodward, and other designers, young designers. So in every room there was a shop, and behind in the showroom that I'm going to show you now afterwards, there was a record store, and down here on the ground was a food court.
Yeah, amazing.
And we had in total in these 3 days around 4,500 people here.
Yeah. Amazing.
And it was like packed.
So let's have a quick walk over, shall we? And we'll go. I'll have to go in a minute, but it'd be nice to go and walk inside. That was Marvin talking to his kid in German.
Because other friend's mom said that he has to go home.
Yeah, that was the worst bit of being a kid, when you had to go home.
Yeah, always. Yeah,
my mom and dad said you have to go home.
Yeah. So you're not gonna have dinner here?
No, I'm not gonna be able to manage it tonight. But next time I come, definitely will do. So we're just walking across the road now to Marvin's hotel. And are you going to go back to doing, just walking in reception now, are you going to go back to doing any more like film or art or?
I hope so, yeah, especially now with BBC, I'll try again, and we do a lot of art exhibitions.
Yeah.
Like 1 to 3 a year, depending if there's corona or not.
Yeah.
let's show you around.
So there's lots of art on the walls. It looks very, very nice. This is the first time we've ever done a podcast in a hotel, so this is very exciting.
Yeah, also the furniture and everything. It was
it's very cool, very like retro furniture.
Yeah, I collected it like over the years, and for those in the know, they see, okay, this is a very rare chair, but I had no money from the beginning. There was not like, okay, here you have 500,000 euros and do it how you like it.
We had
so many restrictions. I mean, this ceiling, no one would do it nowadays, right? But he paid like 1 million shilling, which is what, 70,000 euros by that time. He would never pay 70,000 euros for such a ceiling nowadays.
Yeah.
But I thought, okay, actually you have to play what is here.
Yeah.
And try to accept it, and then you figure out actually it's fun. And
it's a really cool mixture of kind of old and new.
Yeah.
And then if we go out into the courtyard here, well, this is really really lovely. There's lots of plants everywhere.
Blondie is my girlfriend.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm Wolfgang.
Hi, Wolfgang.
This is my partner, I told you about from Lomo.
Ah, yeah. We heard about you earlier, Wolfgang. So you're making a guest appearance on the podcast, if that's okay.
A guest appearance.
Exactly. But this looks like a lovely place to come and hang out and have a coffee. And very... Yeah,
I can show you now quickly the showroom.
Yeah, let's go and see the showroom. Nice to meet you, Wolfgang. Wolfgang is the most Austrian-looking person I've ever seen, with
his blonde
hair and his glasses. Looks amazing. And we're here in the showroom now. So this is where you sell the...
where we have the exhibitions and sell our stuff. And actually, it's a showroom, more or less. Mm. But because if you do a shop, then I need more time to do it. So we call it showroom.
Yeah, showroom, And we can see some cycling jerseys and... Yeah. Some cool looking hats and stuff.
And as you can see, even like if we do, like here we have like a new series of photos with really upcoming photographers, and we always try to avoid this typical bikey stuff.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, so I'm really hard trained on the bike. And I do every day my 100K. No, actually, we try not to use bikes and make it a little bit more strange and.
Yeah.
And funny and
it's really interesting stuff. And you're giving space to young designers and young artists, young photographers.
And like this disco thing, when I started writing, so I had my first group right in the morning, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's like going to the club, is this, and then you're trying to dress somehow differently than the normal cyclists. And then you go through the Vienna woods and you see the sun flattering through the trees and everything. And then I started to tag all my bike rides on the social media with outdoor disco.
Right.
And now when I look on it, I'm on it since like 10 years later, like people are just using it now. They also use this term for having fun outside.
Right, outdoor disco.
Yeah, that's why that's like our kind of claim, and that's why when you see the sweater, that was like our dance collection. We try to compare cycling and to give it a little bit more fun with dancing.
Yeah, right.
So everything has a little story with our brand. Like if you, for instance, see here, this label, it's like... It's if you go outside of the hotel, it's the entry, the door. So this is the pink wall of the hotel and the yellow thing. So, or this fictional nation flags, we have it in every room where we try to think to people, how would your nation look like if you can build your own nation, right? So we have the fictional nation jerseys every year, every second or third year. So we have different, we call it playgrounds that we play on, that we combine with the hotel and the people who are here.
Yeah, definitely. So it's all about fun, really. And people seem like they're having a lot of fun here.
Yeah.
Which is, really important.
Yeah, you should come once when we do an exhibition or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
It's packed.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like people are waiting outside to get in and...
Yeah, I've been to Vienna a few times. I can't believe I haven't been here, but I'm definitely going to come here again next time I'm here. It looks fascinating. And finally, what's next for you, Marvin? You're always doing lots of different projects. What are you thinking about next?
Yeah, the next thing is, it's called Pop Chop. It's a food festival that we're doing. It's like here we have dinners and in the rooms we have some people who like food innovation.
Yeah.
And also outside on the streets we will have some stands with other participants. Where it's a lot about like healthy food is kind of always you have to do it like this and you have to be vegan and we want to bring some like consciousness into this whole nutrition topic, but in a kind of, let's say, in a pop music style. Chop is like eating a pop. My friend Matthias came up with this idea for a while and he was always philosophing about it and he said, okay, we need to do we don't even want to call it food festival because it's not about stands and people selling their stuff. It's more or less all the people who are participating are making it free. And all what we want to show is that there is something else than meat, and if you buy meat then it can be this kind of meat because this and that. We have some talks here in these 3 days from certain people. I can send you some stuff as well.
But
this is going to be in October. Then we have an exhibition afterwards which was cancelled before Corona. And then also another. So two photo exhibitions and the food festival this year.
Great. So you've got lots on. Always lots on.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, let's walk back out here and then we'll finish off. And everyone's enjoying their drinks in the sun. It's a lovely day today. But this looks good. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Marvin. Nice to meet you, Wolfgang. Say goodbye to him. We'll walk back out into the reception. I love the old. Kind of mixture of the old sort of Vienna hotel design and then the cool new stuff as well. These photos
rooms
are cool. This is what the rooms looked like before.
Yeah, no, actually this is, I bought this furniture.
Yeah.
I found it somewhere and bought the secondhand furniture and put it in to make it, to look it like that.
I love it.
But the wall is different now. This is also 10 years old, this picture. This is also a little bit different now.
Amazing. This place is great. Marvin, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. I hope you've enjoyed talking to us. And good luck with everything.
We keep in touch.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your time in Vienna.
Thank you so much.
And I'll see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review. Good or bad, make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk, and if you see me walking around in a park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up on the next park date, hear me lose my patience with my noisy neighbours. Can you please keep that bloody racket down? We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.